This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So Christopher Columbus was looking for a route to India. Why India? Because India was so rich. It was so powerful. It was the hub of spices and cloth and all sorts of things. It was the richest land in the world. The Mughals, they were weak in one thing, and that was they did not have any navy. So what changed is the question. How did the British come to power? The British came to power simply by chance. By chance. It so happened that there was a vacuum left for them to fill, and they came and filled the vacuum. They could not, in their wildest of dreams, imagine to rule parts of India, let alone all of India. I will repeat. The British merchants, the British East India Company officers could not imagine ruling parts of India, let alone ruling all of India. And they managed to rule all of India, no doubt. So how did this happen? Very quickly, I will explain that when Aurangzeb Alamgir, rahmatullahi alayhi, passed away in the year 1707, his successors could not hold on to power. This is another topic in itself. It's a huge topic. You see, every single sentence, brothers, I will utter today in your presence has a book behind it. I'm not saying I've read all those books, but I'm trying to explain how vast this topic is. How vast the topic of the British rule in India is. How vast the Mughal history is. How vast each and every single region and their history is. So this is why I'm giving you snippets, glimpses into these vast histories. So what you will have to do is to go and read books so that you can actually learn more about this history and teach your children. And it is very important for you to know what happened in India. And what you face today in your countries, the reason you're sitting here in Britain is because you are economic immigrants. You are economic immigrants. Most of your parents came here to live better lives, whatever that means. They came from Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, to live here, and other parts, maybe Egypt and Morocco and Algeria, depending on where you come from. You came here as economic immigrants, unless you are exceptions, right? And the reason why you sit here is because your countries do not offer you what you find here, right? Otherwise, you would be in your countries. You would be living with your relatives, your uncles, your chachas, your dadi and your mama, right? You would be sitting with them and have a bonfire every evening and have, those chats, you know, in your villages. I don't know if you've experienced that, right? But you're here because obviously you find this place to be better economically. It suits your needs better. Now you're British citizens. You're part and parcel of this country. You are a very integral part of the social fabric of this country. But how did this all start? How did your countries end up in the state they are in today? Why is there so much corruption? Why is there so much poverty? Why are they in this state? You want me to stop? So this is a very important point. To understand why you're here today, you need to understand what happened before you were born or before your grandparents were born. What happened? What caused these circumstances for your parents and your grandparents to come to these countries and start working in factories, start driving taxis and start delivering pizzas? And in some cases, alhamdulillah, education came. You know, mashallah, made a good life here. Doctors, engineers, yeah. Allah forbid, politicians. God forbid. Okay, because we don't see any good ones, unfortunately, right? Yeah. Anything else is better, inshallah. Anything else, yeah, it's better to do something useful and something beneficial for your people than become a source of embarrassment for your communities. So that's why it's so important for you to understand the British Raj. So the Mughals declined. The Mughals, after Aurangzeb Alamgir, his descendants could not hold on to power. Within 50 years after his death, he dies in 1757. He dies in 1707. In 1757, exactly 50 years later, a battle takes place in Bengal between the Mughal governor of Bengal, Nawab Sirajuddaulah, a young man in his early 20s, ruling Bengal, the richest province in the world, not only in India, by the way, the richest province in the world. Bengal was the richest province. Economically, agriculturally, Bengal was the richest place in the world, full stop, period. This is why the British were so interested in it. Bengal was the breadbasket of the Mughal Empire. When Bengal was lost, the Mughal Empire crumbled. It collapsed economically, financially. When you do not have agriculture or economics behind you, you cannot pay militaries, you cannot pay armies. When you cannot pay armies, soldiers, you cannot run a state. And this is what happened to the Mughals. So the British had established trading posts in the 17th century, having acquired permissions from Mughal emperors respectively one after another. It started with Jahangir. It started with Jahangir, Mughal Emperor Jahangir. So the early British East India Company officers, traders, got some permissions to trade at the port of Surat in current-day Gujarat. So they established a trading post in Surat. They got permissions to trade. Then came Shah Jahan and Aurangzeb. So they established more trading posts in places like Madras and Calcutta. So there were three main hubs of British activity as far as trading was concerned. Are you listening to me? You with me? It's going to get far more interesting, inshallah. We're coming to the interesting, the juicy bits very soon, inshallah. Okay? So that you understand what happened. So these trading posts were spread all over India. Surat is on the west coast. Madras is in southeast. Then Calcutta is basically the east coast or the eastern territory of India. This is where the British established their posts. So they were trading initially in cotton. They were taking cloth and spices. Actually, cotton came later. The first incentive for the British traders was spices, Indian spices. There were no refrigerators in Britain at the time. To preserve foods, they needed spices. It was a necessity. In fact, it is estimated that cloves, you know what cloves are? Long. Long, yeah? Let me say it in your language. Long. Okay? Cloves were weighed against gold. This is how important cloves were as a commodity. This is how valued. You know, today you can walk into a shop and buy a kilo of cloves. You know, nothing, right? At that time, they were weighed against gold, brothers. Spices were so important for Europeans that they would travel from their lands, putting their lives in danger, go through all those sea storms and all sorts of difficulties, avoiding pirates and all of that. There was a lot of piracy. The Portuguese pioneered piracy. The Portuguese controlled the sea, right? The Mughals, they were weak in one thing, and that was they did not have any navy. The Ottomans did. The Ottomans completely occupied the Mediterranean Sea. So the Europeans could not do anything in the Mediterranean Sea. So they had to find routes around the Ottoman piracy. They had to find routes, the Ottoman Mujahideen, in other words, right? So there were, people like Barbarossa, very famous Ottoman admiral. And as far as they were concerned, they were waging jihad against these European powers, hostile European powers. Okay. And this jihad of the Ottomans put the Europeans in a real funny situation. And what happened in Europe at that time because of the Ottomans is another, story. Even Queen Elizabeth I joined this jihad, right? She became an ally of the Ottoman sultans, those who were ruling at her time. There is a book as well. You should check it out. The Queen and the Sultan. Check the title out. The Queen and the Sultan, right? How the British Queen, because European establishment Catholics were against her. The church was against. She was a Protestant queen. The Catholics, this is why the Spanish King Philip II sent an armada of hundreds of ships to invade England in 1588. Hence the famous Spanish Armada, the destruction of Spanish Armada, 1588. You must have studied this history at school, right? Okay, so the Europeans are looking for alternative routes to trade. And they were looking, you know, Christopher Columbus was looking for India. When he found Indians, or the Red Indians, they were actually not Indians. He thought they were Indians, right? That's why they were called Red Indians. The Native Americans were called Red Indians for a reason. Why are they called Red Indians? Is it an accident? What do you think? This is not an accident. Because early explorers like Christopher Columbus and those who came after him, they thought these are Indians. This is India. We are actually in India. But India was thousands of miles away. They were in America. It took them a very long time to understand and realize this is actually not India. This is another territory, right? So Christopher Columbus was looking for a route to India. Why India? Because India was so rich. It was so powerful. It was the hub of spices and cloth and all sorts of things. It was the richest land in the world. And when the Mughals took it, the Mughals became the most powerful people in the world. And the Mughals did organize India as a powerhouse